Pickaxe.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code SPOTIFY for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello and welcome to this week's podcast of this week's One Life Left Radio show. I'm Simon Byron.
I am Steve Curran.
It's a dark and very, very windy Sunday night when, as we record, I'm surprised actually that we have got through it without the shed blowing away. It's pretty blustery out there at the moment, but we did get through it, Steve.
It was good. I really enjoyed it. It was super fun. Thank you for that, Simon.
Thank you. I'm sort of kicking myself a little bit because I do call it pole world. You're right. And do you know, it's because I'd never said it out loud.
Yeah.
I work on my own, Steve. I work from the shed. Mm-hmm. You know, I have conference call, but I don't chat to people. And I've never said, of course it's pal world. Of course it is.
Sure. Because if you had kept up with the pole world thing confidently, I'd be like, well, he knows more than me.
I must come across as a right idiot. Like in some ways, I wish you'd not referenced it because I would have blissfully sailed through without, you know, realizing how ridiculous I am. Why haven't I just seen this called Pal World?
Simon,
I have to say, every word I read, I'm going to have to say that out loud at least once.
You know what I remembered today?
Go on.
So we're doing a gig tomorrow, a Mariachi gig, and because of that, we've had to order some equipment, some mic stands because the venue doesn't have any. I bought a monitor, Simon.
Oh, cool.
It's like a laptop, but without any, you know, keyboard or anything. I mean, I'm not explaining what a monitor is. I know you know what a monitor is, but imagine a Microsoft Surface without a brain.
Right.
Like, that's going to be our portable monitor. I had to order some microphones as well and that kind of thing. And then I remembered what happened to our sponsorship opportunity. We were going to sell out last year.
To Shure microphones, weren't we?
Well, we were also going to sell out to someone who was going to give us an energy drink or some energy something.
I mean, we will sell out to anybody.
Absolutely. But we're just waiting for an opportunity.
Yeah.
And I thought we had that with the microphones. I thought we had that with the guy.
No, well, you know, it's the bigger pickaxe podcasts that get that sort of opportunity.
Is it?
Yeah, they get bespoke adverts, Steve. They have to read their own adverts out. They have to.
We'll do that.
We can read. Yep. Well, I can't speak though, can I? As long as you don't want an advert for Paul World.
You were reading the back of a box earlier or later, because this is coming before the podcast. Later in the show, you'll read a back of the box.
Back of the box. There's an advert for that coming up. You know, and actually, you know, shows I've got an open mind because the product I diss actually is quite good, although I don't know if the socks will be. But still, I don't know what – I think what happens is that they get a lot of inquiries and then they say to us, would you do this – for something of value, and I'll go, yes, we will.
Absolutely. Anything.
We'll do so. Yes, listeners, if you want us to do anything, we will do it. Good, yes, but an okay show, I think, Steve. You know, it'd be odd not speaking to you tomorrow lunchtime, but maybe I'll see you in person.
I hope so, Simon. I hope so.
Good. Nothing else to add?
Don't think so.
Okay, thanks for listening. Here's the show.
Welcome to One Life Left on Resonance 104.4 FM. We're a video game radio show. That's what we are. That's what we do. And I am Stee Curran.
That's why we are. I'm Simon Byron. Hello, Stee. How are you?
I'm all right. I've had a challenging weekend with a four-year-old who's nearly five.
Okay, that's been the challenge, has it? Keeping her four?
That's the only explanation I can think of for her behaviour. She feels the passing of time. You know, it gets to us all, Simon. Gets to us all. Yeah, I've been dealing with that. Otherwise, my weekend's been okay. How has yours been?
Not too bad, thank you. I had my own challenges, literally. I'm playing Prince of Persia, which we'll talk about later, of course. It's been a long time since I've played a Metroidvania for this amount of time, or got so far into a Metroidvania. And I was really enjoying it, really, really enjoying it. But for the last day, I've made literally no progress.
Are you doing that Metroidvania thing where you run back and forth and you're in this area and you're like, oh, no, I think it must be at the other end of the level. And you run there and then, because that's what made me quit Hollow Knight, which I was really enjoying. And then...
I up until yesterday I was like, oh, actually this is a really good one of these, because I hadn't needed to look online for sort of what to do next, where to go next, and I was really enjoying it. It was difficult in places, but I've got sort of quite far into it, and since yesterday I defeated a key character, and then I need to do one other thing. I just can't work out whether this. Have you tried reading anything on the internet recently, Stee?
I mean, I've tried reading men get angry about video games on Reddit, and it's very wearing.
Okay,
a business. Where do you mean specifically?
I have been trying to find and follow a guide to Prince of Persia, The Lost Crown, by navigating to various video game sites and trying to understand where they're telling me to go, what they're telling me to do. I cannot. So I'm not sure if you noticed I was distracted when you were logging on. You're like, how are you doing? This is the first time I've been on a big screen this weekend. I've been mainly doing it on my phone or on my small laptop. And honestly, trying to read a guide on the internet at the moment is like somebody holding up a tips page in a games magazine that you have to peer through the letterbox at. it's just impossible. It's just surrounded by stuff. And adverts and videos and pop-ups, and you get such a small space to try and see where you're. But I found it as difficult as the game itself. Maybe it's an ARG, Stee.
Well, that's if you manage to find one that hasn't been written by AI and doesn't have the answer to the thing that you're searching, or isn't just written for idiots. I found a article over Christmas. I was searching for the Bluey Christmas episodes, right? And rather than scroll through using Disney Plus's terrible interface, I thought I'll just Google it. I'll just search for Bluey Christmas episodes, and then I'll know where to go to directly. And the first hit I got was from a site called Fatherly.
Okay.
You can find it at fatherly.com. And the title is... All the Bluey Christmas episodes are confusing AF.
Ooh.
But we have answers.
Great.
And obviously I clicked through because I'm easily baited by clicks. And the very lengthy, as we, you know, discussed on, what was the name of our feature? What did we come up with for the clickbait feature?
Oh, yeah.
It's called. It always takes a few paragraphs to get into. Well, do you know what is confusing AF about the Christmas episodes of Bluey, Simon?
Go on.
Point one. Why is everyone swimming outdoors?
Excellent.
On Christmas in Bluey?
Yeah, who'd have thought?
Now, can you answer that for us? Can you answer that for our listeners?
Me? Yes, because it's set in Australia.
Well, I'd like a little more detail. Depending on what part of the globe you live in, the seasons are different.
What?
From how they're set up in North America.
They are set up quite conventionally in North America, aren't they?
All right. Question two on in this Why Bluey Christmas episodes are confusing AF. Why is there no snow in Bluey's Christmas episode?
Really? So having gone over the surprise of swimming on Christmas Day, they're still baffled.
Absolutely. But don't worry, fatherly.com has got you. It does go on a bit. There was one that was not snow related, which I liked, which was, what's the deal with the paper crowns and gift wrapped tubes?
What? How old's the person that's written this? Have they never had a Christmas before?
In Christmas Swim, the family gathers around the table for their festive holiday meal while wearing paper crowns and playing with some sort of colourful tube.
What?
These items are part of a traditional British Christmas and an experience most Americans don't partake in. Enjoyed across the UK and in Canada, Christmas crackers are one part decoration and one part, Simon, interactive experience.
Blimey.
Yeah. A cardboard tube is wrapped in bright holiday-themed paper to resemble a piece of candy, with the goal for two people to pull on the ends and bust the cracker open to reveal what's inside. This opening is typically accompanied by a loud popping noise! Exclamation mark to indicate incredulity. It goes on.
What a valuable use of someone's time.
That's the internet these days.
Can we ask them, you know, what confuses us about America? Why are you allowed guns in schools?
American school traditions are confusing Simon.
Yeah.
We are a video game radio show. We're going to talk about video games. I've got a couple of small games to talk about. Sounds like Simon's got one big game to
Big
review.
Old game. I've got some merch to talk about later, actually, as well, Steve.
Excellent. We also have a letter section. We've definitely got one letter. Still have time for more if you're listening live. Although I don't think we've notified the listeners because we are recording at a strange time, aren't we, this week?
We are. It's confusing AF. Why is it dark outside now, Steve? Normally, where's the sun gone?
Don't worry, Simon. I've got the answers.
Okay.
It's night, isn't it? We're recording on Sunday night. We usually typically record Monday lunchtimes, and people who are in our Discord, join us to listen live. You'll get a notification if you're on the Discord. You can find the Discord at hello.onelifeleft.com. And typically we record Monday lunchtime. Tomorrow we're both going to be busy, aren't we?
Very busy indeed, Steve.
Very busy. So we can't do it then. We're recording it at night with the sun turned off. So everything feels a little bit different today.
A little bit spooky. I was after a live listener to do a quiz later, but...
Well, I was going to say, you did an appeal, didn't you?
I'm going to have to do it on you.
Okay, fine. I'll demo it. But maybe we'll do it with live listeners or even guests next week. So, yeah, we have a feature as well. We occasionally drop those in. We also have the reviews. Oh, I said the reviews, didn't I? We have the news coming up shortly and maybe some any other business. Maybe a Fast Five as well later. We have, after our technical problems, been promised by Riverside FM, our middleware provider, that they have employed a fix. Deployed a fix to our account. So hopefully the news will work this week. But let's find out. Here's Charles Bott.
One life left. Video game news. Me. Charles Bott 1.1. Pocket Pair's latest survival game, Palworld, has been caught in the crossfire for purportedly copying designs from Pokemon. The game, despite its success of 2 million sales within the first 24 hours, has been scrutinized by social media users for its character designs that bear a striking resemblance to those in the Nintendo series. The controversy is further stoked by Pocket Pair's past involvement with generative AI tools, which some argue could account for the similarities. However, Takuro Mizobe, the CEO of the game, maintains that most of the game's characters were primarily designed by a single graduate student. Despite the allegations, Polworld continues to garner positive reviews on Steam. And speaking of Nintendo, I wonder what game Pocket Pair will draw inspiration from next. Maybe they'll launch a game about a plumber who battles evil turtles and rescues princesses, or perhaps a game where you catch and train creatures in spherical devices. I guess we'll just have to wait and see.
Thanks, Charles Botts. Simon, have you played this game? Because everyone else is.
I have not. No, you are right, though. Everyone else is. It's mm-hmm. It's the most popular paid game on Steam ever, I think.
Wow. Okay.
It's as, in terms of peak concurrent users. Mm-hmm. It's fourth biggest game of all time. Behind PUBG, Counter-Strike 2, Lost Ark, Dota 2, sorry, Palworld.
Wow. A huge success, but not without the controversy that you've outlined. When I watched the trailer for it, having heard about it, because you can't not hear about it because millions are playing it, I did immediately think, well, those are Pokemon, except for with guns. And something about the whole enterprise just felt a little bit grimy to me. Something about this game. And that put me off enough to, not partake. What about you, Simon?
No, I mean, I've been too busy getting lost in Prince of Persia mm-hmm. to have time with Palworld. It's not really my type of thing. But, lots of people, I mean, it's congratulations. It's a huge success. Lots of people sort of picking through it. The CEO's tweets from 2022 mm-hmm. Was where he mentioned he believed that generative AI tools could one day be sophisticated enough to avoid copyright issues. there's a smoking gun there, isn't it? When Pikachu's not holding it.
Yeah. Says as he enters into ChatGPT, do as a monster a bit like Jigglypuff, but not. I don't know. I think it's partly the pitch as well, right? Which is really strong in a way that you can understand why everyone's in, right? Pokemon with guns, but also why do we have to add guns to everything? Why?
Yes. It's thrown up. It's highlighted some interesting circumstances. They were caught by surprise with its success. So they've obviously had server issues. They had to have a 1 a.m. conference call with Epic and ask them to turn off their account limits. The Game Pass version is a couple of builds behind this main one. Again, sort of managing those. They are a small team. Super difficult. Something you presumably can't get AI to do. Yeah. The other thing is the media scramble for it, where back when you and I were journalists, part of your role there was to talk about what was exciting, what was coming up, and in some. Some sense, you were gatekeeper's probably the wrong word, but you were able to say, hey, I think this is going to be big, and or not. What happens when a game like Palworld launches is that everybody scrambles to cover it because they go, okay, well, everybody's playing it, so they're obviously going to want to be reading about it too. Mm-hmm. I did a quick search just before the show. Eurogamer had something like 8 or 9 pieces on Palworld. Only 2 of them were before it launched. Since it launched last week on Thursday, almost hourly new stories going up, guides being written, all of that sort of stuff. Just in this journalism is measured by clicks these days. Just trying to feed the machine. So, good luck anybody launching any games, I think, in the next week or two, given that everybody seems to be playing this one.
In a recent industry survey, 8% of developers confirmed they're working on games for Nintendo's yet-to-be-announced successor to the Switch. The survey, which polled over 3,000 developers, found 32% were most interested in Nintendo's next console, trailing behind the PS5. 41%, and PC, 62%. The Switch 2, shrouded in secrecy, is expected to launch this year with development kits already in the hands of key studios. Dr. Serkan Toto, a gaming industry consultant, predicts it could retail at $400, with games potentially priced at $70, and maintain the Switch's portable functionality. To end on a lighter note, here's a Knock Knock joke about the upcoming console. Knock Knock, who's there? Switch. Switch who? Switch the channel. The Switch 2 is about to be announced.
It's not bad.
It's not bad. It's better than his first effort. So, yes, Steve, 8% of developers are working on it. So we're going to get 8% of the games. Aren't we?
I'm a developer and I'm not working on it.
I'm not a developer and I'm also not working on it. I did think, though, mm-hmm. that if we should gather a lot of people around the call.
That's what I was thinking.
Yeah.
So one of us.
Yep.
It's like The Traitors.
I don't watch that.
Are you watching? Do you not watch it?
No.
It's good, Simon.
Yeah, I understand it's good, but it's just in the first series. Yeah, I think we've talked about this, haven't we? The games that they play have no value.
Yeah, they're really boring. So just don't watch during them. Play Prince of Persia. It's good. It's good. Anyway, yeah, it would be interesting if we had 10 people around us. We knew one of them.
Yeah. Definitely. It'd be Terry Kavanagh, wouldn't it? do you think Nintendo have told Terry about the Switch 2?
That's a good question.
Let's run through the people we know and then let's speculate on whether they're working on it. So Terry, probably.
All right,
not.
To be clear as well, yeah. I don't know of anybody who is working on it. So if I say yes, then I don't actually know. Mind you, I would say that it's The Traitor's side.
It's The Traitor. I think you're The Traitor. Are you working on a Switch 2 game?
I'm not, Simon.
Right, Terry Kavanagh, yes, yes or no?
No.
Okay. James Parker.
I reckon he's definitely...
He's got some secrets, doesn't he, James Parker? I don't think Switch 2 is one of them.
Do you not think so?
No. I know of two secrets about James Parker.
Do you? Are they both games connected?
Yes. Why? Okay. What do you know? We should... James...
I'll swap you one.
Okay. Well, I think you probably know both of them as well. It's what he's making and who he's publishing it with.
Mike Bithell.
Oh, there's a good one. No, I don't think he will.
You don't think so?
Switch 2 doesn't need any triangles, does it? Squares.
Yeah.
Do you think he will have done?
Bithell, yeah.
Do you?
Yeah.
Okay. Dan Marshall?
No.
He's been to the Taskmaster house where they all played Switch 2 together. Maybe.
Rami Ishmael?
No. Jonathan
Smith? Who does then?
Was it Jonathan Smith?
Absolutely.
He didn't tell us about it, though, did he?
He wouldn't, though.
No, he wouldn't. But we went to Japan with him, but he didn't give us any of his secrets.
Poker Face.
It could be the name of... the Palworld developers next game.
Let's just interrogate all of our guests really hard. We'll find one.
Okay.
Over the next few weeks. In a surprising twist, PS4 game sales outpaced Xbox Series XS in Europe last year, despite the latter's newer hardware. The PS4 also saw a staggering 671% increase in hardware sales, thanks to supply issues easing. Meanwhile, Xbox Series XS console sales dipped by nearly 18%. The Xbox Game Pass may have influenced these figures, but the extent is unclear. Overall, game sales in Europe rose by 1.7%, with PC leading the pack. EA Sports FC took the crown as the best-selling game, while PS5 dominated in console sales. So it seems old dogs, or consoles, can indeed learn new tricks. This success might make one wonder if it will prompt Mark Cerny to create a sequel to Knack 2. However, it's worth noting that such a move could potentially spell the end of the console.
The reason being, focusing too much on sequels might stifle innovation and lead to a saturation of the market, which could ultimately result in the decline of console popularity.
It's bloomin' Aussie, Charles, isn't it?
Did you do anything with the... Well, no, you don't have access to that bit. That's the... That's,
yeah, you won't let me. Oh. I'd become too powerful.
Do something like that.
Yeah, I would do.
Okay, interesting.
I've got no idea what he was saying now.
No. Well, he was talking about sales of consoles and percentage figures. The PS4... the PS5 leaping up, right?
PS4.
Was it PS4?
According to GSD, the PS4 hardware sales across Europe in 2023 rose 671% year-on-year following the easing of supply issues that hampered sales in 2022. Did we know there was a PS4 shortage in 2020?
No, we didn't.
This can't be right. But then separately in the story, they do talk about PS5 sales. So,
okay, well, it could be a typo. It could be some kind of error there. But also, talking about percentages, increases and drops, it needs some context, because if something isn't selling anything at the start, then a percentage leap is quite easy to achieve, right? Like a staggering one. You really kind of need to know the base number of units that are being sold.
Well, that was a part of this story. The interesting bit was this was about PlayStation 4 games, which sold more than Xbox Series S and X.
Mm.
Okay. So the software rather than the hardware. I mean, obviously some of that's to be expected due to Game Pass and the fact that so many Xbox owners will be subscribers to that, and therefore are likely, I would say, to sort of buy fewer games. Interesting nonetheless.
Rocksteady's co-founders Sefton Hill and Jamie Walker have quietly embarked on a new journey, launching 100 Star Games. This London-based studio, discovered by Polygon prior to an official announcement, aspires to be a hub of creativity, housing a team of 100 seasoned professionals and promising newcomers. They are dedicated to crafting immersive gaming experiences and nurturing a diverse, dynamic gaming community. The company has already enlisted several lead developers and director-level former Rocksteady employees. Hill and Walker said their goodbyes to Rocksteady in 2022, leaving Suicide Squad in competent hands and setting sail on this new gaming voyage. One can't help but wonder what Hill and Walker think of the chaotic state of the Suicide Squad guide. It's easy to imagine them sharing a laugh or two about it, perhaps joking about the guide's disarray being a result of their absence. Or maybe they're making light of the situation, suggesting that the guide's messiness is a secret strategy to keep gamers on their toes. Whatever the case, it's clear that their departure has left a significant mark on Rocksteady and its projects.
Well, Suicide Squad guide.
Yeah, I might have put... Did I type guide in instead of game? In his prompts, it sounds like it, doesn't it? Yeah, look, I have to take responsibility for Charles's performance this week.
Sorry. Well, you can't take responsibility for his Australian. Because.
So on the Great Place to Work website from which this story originates, the company says, 100 Star Games is a video game startup based in East London. Our ethos of creating a small team of only 100 industry veterans and emerging talents who are committed to crafting cutting-edge gaming experiences that inspire and captivate players worldwide. A small team of only 100 industry veterans. Now, how many industry... Sorry, it says to say industry veterans and emerging talents, but how many industry veterans are there? Are we industry veterans?
We're definitely industry veterans.
Should we just get our stuff and go then? Get in there before they are full up of 100 people.
I've seen people on LinkedIn, your favourite site and mine, referring to themselves after they say 10 years. You spend 10 years in the industry, you're an industry veteran.
Let's go.
So, yeah, we just rock up at the door and go, We're here.
We're going to make some games with you.
Making games is really hard. It seems binding yourself to the number 100 of employees is like an extra layer of difficulty that is unnecessary.
But then, equally, do the math, Steve. If there are 100 industry veterans at 100 Star Games, they've all one star each, which is bad, isn't it?
That's true.
It's bad, the bad people.
Yeah,
very, very, very true. Are they making one game then, or are they making lots of them? This is not clear to me. Like no. It said, well, we're making a community of, you know, maybe they're just bringing people in to knock out some brilliant games. Don't know.
We'll have to see. I mean, how many people does it take to make a game? You'll know this. Is it 100? Is it exactly 100?
It's exactly 100, conveniently okay. enough for them. Now I understand why they've done it. So right. No more than, no less. Yeah. Well, it varies, doesn't it? Like, you know, clearly something like Prince of Persia or that will have taken loads of people, but something like my puzzle game is currently taking 4-ish. So, changes. So what I'm saying is they could either get a bit of a game done or 25.
After 8 years of weekly updates, Harmonix is wrapping up Rock Band 4 DLC content, with the last one dropping on January 25th. Fear not, Rock Band enthusiasts. All your purchased songs will remain playable, and other live services will continue as usual. Since being scooped up by Epic Games, Harmonix has been strumming away at Fortnite Festival, their new free-to-play music game. So don't retire your guitars just yet, as support for RB4 instruments is on the horizon. Meanwhile, Fortnite continues to dominate, with console users clocking over 1.6 billion hours in December alone. On a lighter note, let's remember some things in the video games industry that didn't quite make it to the 8-year mark. Remember the Virtual Boy? Nintendo's attempt at VR in the 90s lasted a mere year before it was discontinued. Or how about the Sega Dreamcast? Despite its cult following, it only managed a short lifespan of about 2 years. And who could forget the infamous E.T. the Extraterrestrial game for Atari? It was so bad, it's said to have contributed to the video game industry crash of 1983. Now those are some real game over moments.
I wanted to include this because I had no idea they'd been doing weekly DLC for 8 years, and that is to be absolutely celebrated. Well
like,
done.
Really, really, congratulations, Harmonix, and all good things come to an end, but that is really some support of a really great game as well. So fantastic news, and those people who are still playing it have plenty of content to get through, so... Good. Do you think they'll keep the servers up? For how long do you think they'll keep the servers up for?
Yes, I don't know. I mean, you know, with the Rock Band peripherals being supported in Fortnite Music Festival, whatever it's called, you have to assume that the long-term intention is to move people across to that. I think you do with that by keeping that community alive and then sort of saying, here's some new stuff over here. So, don't know. But however long it is, you know, it will be much longer than, for example, the Foam Stars servers, which will be going live shortly, and many other games that have launched and disappeared within the blink of an eye. I think it's 4 or 8 years.
Have you seen Music Festival yet?
I haven't, no. I haven't got any. I've got rid of all my controllers, haven't I?
Well, you don't need.
I used to have loads.
To play it. In fact, I don't think you can play it with a controller at the moment, but it's much simpler than Rock Band. So I think it's 4 lanes. You play it with 4 keys, and it doesn't. I don't know. I can't imagine seeing that as a replacement for Rock Band 4. It's like a. It's almost like a demo version to give you the flavor of that.
Okay.
Thing. So
right.
I don't imagine that is their move here. Support for those instruments will be an added bonus rather than hey guys, we're done with that, move to this. But hopefully they've got another plan because I think they're a brilliant studio and I want them to keep making games.
So please do, Harmonix.
All right. Thanks, Charles. Thanks, Simon.
One life left, video game news with
me, CharlesBot 1.1.
La, la, la. What was that?
I just have a little sing. I do that, Steve, throughout the day. I was having a little sing as I was just reading. I was reading the back of a box.
What box?
Do you not sing when you read? Well, thanks for asking, actually. What a segue. I went out today. We went to St. Albans, where we haven't been for a long time. Last time I was in St. Albans, I think, was when I was there for the count after the general election, after I'd stood as a candidate for my constituency as a publicity stunt in something that went horrifically wrong. Anyway, we went to St. Albans. We dropped something off that we'd sold on Facebook. That was Ramona's old bed, Stee, just to sort of fill in any blanks that you were filling in yourself there. Mm-hmm. We're not that sort of those sort of people. we dropped that off. That was fine. And then we had a little look around the town. And I went into The Works, which is it's a strange shop. It sells like colouring books, novels you've never heard of, lots of like small versions of board games and sort of licensed tat. And towards the back,
an art book in the works.
Yeah, it was. Yeah,
yeah.
It was in dump bins in The Works. Anyway, they are one of our books. They're flogging off a lot of sort of Christmas stock at the moment. And right tucked away at the back, I saw something aimed at gamers, Stee. Mm-hmm. A little Christmas gift aimed at gamers. Now, we were having lunch, and actually there was a gamer sat opposite me in St. Albans, and he had like all the he had a top with just like games on them and stuff like it. And it's, I sort of looked at it and I thought, what are the hobbies or pastimes like, you know, see, the people who like music don't have just like listening, like on their hoodie, do they? Or but they have this sort of, or like anything to do with games, like Insomnia Festival's being advertised on Twitter at me at the moment. And their catchphrase is, it's never just a game. And I sort of read that and I go, like, it almost always is. It's never just a game. Yeah, it is. I'm just playing a game. Anyway, this was presumably aimed at someone who didn't know what to buy their gamer relative. And it's in a box. And it is, Stee. It's a package of one pair of socks and 100 trivia questions.
Oh,
done in like a sort of switch style packaging.
That's actually really useful because typically I have to buy my socks and trivia questions separately.
Well, exactly.
And it's a bit annoying.
I mean, you know, when we lament the intrusion of AI, I would imagine that there are some people that are going to be quite relieved they don't have to do these jobs. Imagine if your job was to write the back of this box, Stee, where somebody, a human, has written on the back of a box, one pair of socks and 100 trivia questions, has written, you know, someone's picked that up. And it's quite obvious what it is. But, you can't say nothing on the back of the box. So someone has written, reach your new high score in style with this gamer socks and trivia set.
And that's what you were reading that caused you to burst into song as we came out of the news.
So the next line, so they're like, okay, cool, great. So we've established it's socks and a trivia set. Mm-hmm. What can we say about the socks? Now, poking through the hole in the box, it says game over on your socks.
Of course it does.
I don't know. So again, someone wrote this. Designed with a retro video game pattern. I will get it out in a second. The socks are machine washable and comfortable to wear, making them the perfect co-op gaming companion. Who are you playing games with tonight? And I'm playing it with my socks. What earth are you talking about? It is the perfect gaming companion, my socks. They then go on to detail. It includes 100 questions on consoles, characters, and all your favorite gaming titles. It's time to prove who really is top of the leaderboard. Set contents, one pair of socks and 50 cards with 100 questions.
What are you meant to do with the questions?
Well, I'm going to ask them to you, aren't I?
Okay.
I'm going to ask them to you.
Is this the feature?
Well, this guy's going to quiz you on it. I was going to say, actually, I'm going to give these socks away. It's not a feature as such. I won't get them out. So it says game over, and then underneath it says play again. Play again, ? So all of your favourite... If you get 5 questions right, Stee, I'm going to give you these socks. If we don't, then we can do it with guests. Okay. They can win the socks, all right?
All right.
Let's see them.
Five questions. Five questions. And it's all on my favourite games.
These are all your favorite games, okay?
All my favorite games, okay.
If you're an athlete, you know the greatest motivator of all is the fear of letting your teammates down. After all, a team is only as good as its weakest link. So you owe it to those wearing the same jersey as you to be your best every time you step on the field. That's why there's no vape in team. When you vape, you can expose your lungs to toxic chemicals that can damage your lungs. If you're a step behind, the team's a step behind. Brought to you by The Real Cost and the FDA.
Hello, my friend. My name's Sean, and I want to end your suffering. No, not like that. With meditation in my new podcast, Mindfulness for Gamers. Each episode, I'll take you through how mindfulness can help you to feel less anxious and frustrated and put you on a path of happiness, all through the lovely, grimy lens of video games. So make time to level up your mental health and take the first step on your spiritual skill tree. Join me and subscribe to Mindfulness for Gamers right here, right now.
Okay, question number one. What long-term goal did Pokemon protagonist Ash Ketchum finally achieve in 2022?
He wanted to win the World Pokemon Championship title. Pretty sure.
So what did he finally achieve?
He won the World
Pokemon. You are correct, Steve. Question number two. Jacqueline Natla was the main antagonist in which iconic 1996 action platformer? Jacqueline Natla, the main antagonist.
Oh, in 1996, action platformer.
These are quite good questions.
Yeah. Jacqueline Natla, action platformer, 1996. So that's... I don't... Is she who's inside the Banjo-Kazooie suit? I don't know.
We're going to have to stop it there, Steve. We're going to have to stop it there. Your streak ends at one.
All right. Well, it's not zero.
The socks remain here. Full price, £6. Only £2 at the moment in the works. I have to say, just rifling through the questions, I do think that they're quite good. I would have lent into those a bit more as opposed to implying that you're too lonely, that you can only play games with your socks.
It is time for the letters.
Email, messages, and forward BCC. One Life Letters.
All right, you're listening to One Life Left, and this is our letter section. For our letter section, we require letters sent in by you to this address.
team@onelifeleft.com.
Or you can drop them on the Discord now. At least one of you has done that. We're about to find out if there's any more. Simon, are there any in the inbox, or is it just the one on Discord?
Just the one on Discord, it looks like.
All right, well, let's do that then. It's in the mailbag channel. Hi, team, and SSG, writes Simon S. Here again for you. That's right, you are here for us, and we really, really appreciate that and you. I've been going down a rabbit hole looking at Pal World or Pole World. You called it Pole World earlier, Simon. Is that the official pronunciation?
I don't know, no. I don't know.
Okay. I'm addicted to looking at things about it, and I can't wait for release on the 19th. It looks like the Pokemon game I've always wanted. My question, are there any games in the past you've been obsessed with watching and keeping up with before release? Have a good week, Simon. As well, first, you have a good week too. Second,
what's going on?
Well, nothing's going on. I've stopped the letters team.
Because you're about to say something important?
No. Just because I think sometimes I do that.
Oh, do you?
If you notice, sometimes I kill the letters team. Not always. Sometimes.
Okay. Just keep
usually when we've got two letters, but we don't have them. So I probably shouldn't have done it this time. Anyway, have a good week. Games that you've been anticipating watching videos for before release, Simon?
Well, the one that I think the first one for me that I fell victim to pre-release hype marketing was the original Metal Gear Solid when,
right,
you know, we were moving from 2D to 3D. I couldn't quite believe that one day we were going to be playing that in our houses with the movie-style trailer and the Hollywood-style soundtrack. Goodness me, I was yeah, I was. I did think back at the time. I was like, oh, well, imagine if you died before this came out. You never got to play it. Now looking back at it, you know, it wasn't all that, was it? I mean, it was all that. It was all that. It's not all that now. But yeah, I was beside myself with excitement. Ocarina of Time. That was the last time I ran to buy a video game up and down Oxford Street, trying to find somewhere that had them in stock.
I can't think of an answer. I think that's because I tend to not watch trailers deliberately because I don't want to spoil stuff. If there is one, it's probably a Nintendo game. I was really excited about No Man's Sky, and used to watch that trailer a lot building up to release. I don't know. Yeah, it must be a Nintendo one. I guess if just to sidestep your question, if they did a trailer for F-Zero GX2, I'd watch that all the time, forever. But they're not going to. Sorry. We don't have any other letters. We need more letters. We say this all every time. Can you please write us some letters? Like, just do it.
To team at onelifedeathleft.com.
Yeah, thank you. Listening to One Life Left on Resonance 104.4 FM. If you're a long-time listener to the show, you'll know we've had a few technical problems over the last few weeks. Well, it seems like Riverside's fix that they have deployed seems to be making the jingles work, with one consequence: there is a little delay.
Which makes us think that it's not working, doesn't it? It's quite exciting.
It's really exciting. Thanks for that, Riverside. Yeah, we're a video game radio show. We're also a podcast. You can find that at onelifeleft.com, or you can go to hello.onelifeleft.com for show notes and all that kind of thing. But we are a radio show. We go out on Resonance FM. Look, it's a very, very important that you know that. And in coming weeks, we'll be talking about the Resonance FM charity drive, the donation drive. We do this every year. Resonance is the greatest radio station in the world, but it would not exist without your help. We'll be doing a mariachi gig for Resonance's benefit at some point over the next couple of months, and they usually do an auction which you can participate in, get some great stuff, and at the same time know that you are helping to sustain One Life Left's future. And that's important because we are a heritage piece. We're literally the longest running radio show about video games that broadcasts in the English language, and you can't get better than that. You just can't. That's it.
We're recording this a little earlier than normal because both of us are at Pocket Gamer Connects tomorrow and Tuesday. Are you? What are you up to around there, Steve?
I've got a series of meetings. Every single one of them is about a different topic. So that's quite exciting. And I don't have a ticket yet for the conference.
What? How are you? Oh.
But I am technically working for the conference because we're doing mariachi, but we're not being paid for it. So could be an employee, effectively. Could be, you know, they're under my media guys. Could be, you know, an indie developer. So I don't know. I'll probably end up with a pass, and I'll probably end up wandering around. So I assume I will see you there. Otherwise, having a series of meetings in and around the area. So I won't get to see any of the talks, unfortunately.
We could be there at the kickoff party right now, Steve, but we're not, are we?
We're not. We're here.
It says that you can, on the site, it says, remember, you can collect your badge early on the at the venue. Where is it, by the way? Is it the brewery?
Okay. Old Street area.
I have turned up to the wrong location for a Pocket Gamer Connects before.
Have you?
Yeah, I have, yes. When they moved to the brewery, actually, I went to the old venue. There's a kickoff party right now, which is giving give everyone the chance to warm up their networking skills.
Mm-hmm. Useful.
That sounds like a fun event, doesn't it? What at the start of the party, is everybody just stood around the edges and sort of one person steps in like they do on Mock the Week and they just go, hello? And then they sort of step back because they're not quite cold networking skills.
Just limbering up.
And at the end of the night, they're all getting off with each other.
Your networking, Simon, your networking skills are insane. And then the conference starts properly tomorrow. A series of talks, roundtables, parties, gatherings, that kind of thing, and lots of networking, culminating in the party tomorrow evening, which Mariaki will be performing at, whether Pocket Gamer like it or not.
Why aren't they paying? Are you doing it for exposure?
We're doing it for exposure. I know. Well, it's I'm not in charge of this bit anymore. We have a guy, a man, Mike, who is the entrepreneur's entrepreneur, and he believes that the way to turn Mariaki into a multi-billion-dollar business and fund our future trips to Japan is by doing this gig for exposure. So we'll see how exposed we get tomorrow night.
Well, fingers crossed it can't stay.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. It'll be a good gig, I think. It's in a really nice place. It's at Bounce, the table tennis venue in Old Street. And we've got our own little room off to the side, so I don't think we'll be shut down like we were last time we played Pocket Gamer.
No, that was a long time ago, wasn't it? Anyways, who's laughing now? Well, they are, because they're getting a Mariaki for free.
That was 9 years ago, and this is their 10th anniversary. Apparently there'll be cake, and apparently I get to present it on stage.
Well, there we go.
Exciting. Exciting times. And then Tuesday, more conference stuff, more talks and roundtables and that kind of thing. I am doing more meetings, and I assume you are too.
I'll be there.
Busy.
Yes, pretty busy as always. And then I'm actually on a panel on the Tuesday.
Are you? What's the panel about?
Here we go. Between 20 to 5 and 5:20. It's the glamour slot.
Mm-hmm.
The panel subject is establishing a new IP more difficult than ever? It's in the big screen gaming. What do they call them? Conference track. There you go. Yes. After a troublesome year for new games, we explore what can be done to de-risk publishing, improve cutthroat. No, that means cut through, and achieve commercial success. Stu Dinsey from Curve is hosting it. There's me. There's Juliet from 505, and there's Guy Richards from Xbox.
Mm.
We're going to be de-risking publishing. Good. I will bring a notepad.
It seems, from my casual browsing of conference schedules, that more and more talks are geared towards, oh my God, there are 15,000 games coming out on Steam. How on earth can we make our games stand out? And my feeling about these is, surely if someone is talking about that methodology at a conference, then it's already too late to use that technique to make your game stand out. Like, the only way of making your game really stand out is by finding some pathway that gets you attention that someone else hasn't used, because otherwise you're not going to stand out.
No, you just put guns in it.
Of course. That's take another big IP and put guns in it. Right, perfect.
But it's it is a tricky time, as we're seeing. You know, there's been more bad news this week from more companies, and I think a lot of people are worried about what do they do. You know, how do they do it? And I don't have the answer, so let's hope the other two do.
Mm. We are approaching the end of the show. Got another 10 minutes, which means it's about time for the reviews. Simon, I know what you've been playing this week.
Let me tell you about it, Steve. There was a time many years ago when David McCarthy came to my house and he was in a relationship with a lady who had a very young child. 2-3 years old, I think, sort of toddler, was capable of standing and making sounds, but wasn't capable of conversations. Mm-hmm. And the toddler was you know how that joke goes. And it was in the, I can approximately date this, because underneath my CRT TV was a GameCube, and David bought this his partner up and her child, and I turned on the GameCube F-Zero. It was the first time that child had ever seen a video game, and what he did when he saw the video game with the graphics and heard the sounds, and it was all sort of, he went, ah, and he stamped up and down. He sort of made him do that. And I've often wondered, I've often thought about that and felt a little jealousy that I've never sort of had that about a video game. But Prince of Persia is a video game, Steve. It's a video game like they used to make. Okay. I've been thinking about it a lot. It's hard. Mm-hmm. It's pretty. Mm-hmm. It's challenging. It's you know, most importantly, it's a game that is, you know, using your reactions. You know, I'm not very good at these games, in inverted commas, and I generally dislike them, but I am, up until yesterday, having a right old time with it. Don't understand what's happening, but it involves, you know, some treachery, some apparent treachery, and it's presented in this sort of 2.5D style, which I think looks great. You know, a lot of people on the internet don't like it, but I think it looks great. And it's an action platformer, Metroidvania, which is just, it's just generally really lovely to play. It's got an upgrade path in it, it's got secrets, it's got collectibles, it's got bosses who aren't too annoying. It's, you know, like most Metroidvanias, it gives you a big map to uncover bit by bit, opening up new areas, and then you get sort of fast traversal between the two. It has checkpoints, which, you know, generally aren't annoying. A couple of them are a little bit, but then equally on a boss fight, you know, some games will make you go back. Hollow Knight's one for this, where it makes you go back. You fail the boss fight, you've got to then go back three screens to get to the boss again, and by which point you've lost some health.
This one, and just stop playing, which is exactly what happened with me.
This one just starts you back at the boss again. Just try again. It has this sort of clever in-game screen capture where you can leave these little markers for yourself if you're like, oh, okay, there's something there which I can't access at the moment. I must come back and investigate. So, yeah, really enjoying it. Apart from this day of lost progression where, you see, I haven't been playing for a whole day. I've been out buying gamer socks. there's sort of a couple of hours that I've had since yesterday evening. I've made no progress. But yeah, I really do need to know where the boss is in the forest, Steve, and I can't find it. Somebody can point me to a guide that isn't about any of the things, the secret things you can find, or just has a picture of the map, not where the new power is. I know where that is, but where is the? How do I get into the tree, Steve? How do I get into the tree?
I can't help you, but I really want to play this game now. Except for I was totally in, and then you mentioned bosses, but if they're easy, maybe I'm okay with it. And I really want that feeling. I've been looking for a game to play recently. I can't find anything that catches my eye. And so I'm sort of in, except for I've got too many other things to do at the moment. But, maybe I'll be able to help you.
It's a video game. It's a video game that, you know, is like they used to make, but looks like the games they make now. It's great.
Perfect. All right. Last week I mentioned a game about bunnies, a soccer bum style game called that I couldn't remember the name of, and I couldn't get at because we were trying to run a stripped down version of my desktop for technical reasons. Anyway, it was called Acaret Down the Bun Burrows, and it's quite nice. Quite nice. If you like those kind of weird soccer man push things away and, in this case, chase the bunny down a hole, or chase the bunny and capture it things, you may like that, you may enjoy that. I also played this week Can of Wormholes, which is similarly structured. It has a conceit that I absolutely don't understand. You play a tin can that rolls around and is throwing portals around, and then occasionally, well, no, the meat of the game, as you move around the hub environment, you trigger these little puzzles where you push a worm around to try and fill in holes in the ground. Similar sort of structure to Packeret. I prefer Packeret, I think. I don't really enjoy the
puzzle mechanic in the wormhole game quite as much, I'm afraid. Both 7 out of 10s, though. And just before the show this afternoon, played a couple of games, both by the same developer, a guy called John Szymanski. He seems to be an independent developer who makes, or according to his bio, just makes the games he wants to make. The two games are quite different. One of them is a horror game, came out, I think, this week. It's called Exiled. Very, very, very simple, very short form. I completed it in about 29 minutes. About 29 minutes. Steam is telling me I completed it in. There is a desk and a book, and you open the book. You know, your wife's gone missing. It's a Cthulhu-oriented universe. You read the book. Some of it's in a weird language. You translate the language. You find out what to do. You get to the ending of the game. It was nice. Nice thing to pass the time for half an hour. Not super sophisticated. Then I played Kyle is Famous, which is a narrative game about you being a chat show host. You choose some very, very simple. You just choose some options at the start. Which room are you going to go to? You're going to open the fridge? What are you going to take from the fridge? You're going to sit at your desk? You're going to do some interview prep? You're going to go to the studio, interview this person, and something happens. Game over. There are 117 different endings that all come about by choosing different options on your way to the studio. And the idea is to unlock them all. It's quite, really quite pleasantly written, quite funny, a little bit funny. Very, very slick interface. Allows you to make your own if you'd like and you don't want to use something like Twine. Enjoyed it. 7 out of 10. Those are the games that I've played. Apart from my own, Simon, which I've been playing a lot. We released a new version of the puzzle game on Friday. And there's a big new version with new levels coming next Friday, and it's really good, and it's causing me anxiety, Simon.
Is it? When's it coming out then?
I don't know. Like, theoretically a couple of months away. Depends on what happens in the sort of business conversations over the next few weeks, which are getting quite serious at the moment. It's really
nice.
Are
they serious business? Are you wearing a suit?
I'm not. Maybe handing them over to proper people who do wear suits and understand what we're talking about. But it will get finished, and it will get finished relatively soon. And I'm excited about it, really excited about it, and super, super nervous. So more news to come around that in the coming weeks on One Life Left, or at least the coming months.
Looking forward to it.
Well, are you going to come to the party tomorrow night?
I should be around. Yes, should be there, hopefully. It's a little late for me. I mean, given that I have to get home, I might come for one.
Come for one. Okay. Mm. Good. Any other business? Because we've got a little bit. I've got about 30 seconds of time, I think, because I'm going to have to crop out that bit that went wrong.
Are you? It's a bit late for standards, isn't it? 17 years in?
Maybe. I can't believe it's been 17 years. That kid you mentioned. The one who saw F-Zero.
He's in prison now.
I was going to say he's got his own YouTube channel. Got his own radio show. Who knows? All right. Let's shut it down then. This episode.
Thanks for listening.
Yeah, thanks for listening, everybody. We are One Life Left. Resonance is amazing. We'll see you next week. Until then. Goodbye!